This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, vote for language regardless of the terrible things it does sometimes. I'm pretty sure the 2016 US election has been going on for 7 years already, but apparently it's nowhere near over, so we're going to go for a brisk walk and talk through the corridors of the dictionary to find out a little about some political vocabulary, as we did in the original Allusionist election lexicon just before the 2015 UK general election. In case you missed it, I'll tag that show on after this new one, so you need no longer wonder about the etymology of words like campaign, ballot, democracy, poll, debate, and argument. On with the US election lexicon.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
I'm okay. I am pretty busy.
Could I call back another time? Would that be more convenient?
No, that's okay. I'm not interested. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Pleased to hear it, sir. Official records show that you voted in the previous election, and I'm calling today to thank you for being a voter and to earn your support for the Lexocrat candidate this time round.
Who are you again?
The Lexocrat Party represents a linguistic alternative to the major political players. Would you welcome more radical governance?
You mean more radical than the burn? I really feel the burn.
Well, we would like radical politics to return to its linguistic roots. Which is root.
You would not accept burn, B-E-R-N. You would want B-U-R-N. So you're saying you would reject the burn.
The Lexocrats suggest going right back to the Latin root of radical, which is the same as radish. Would you welcome the return of radishes to politics? Because they burn you a little bit, because some of them are quite fiery.
That's true. I had a very spicy one last week, grown in my aunt's garden.
What did you do with them? A salad? Stir fry?
A little bit of a salad, but it's cold here, so I tried to sauté them a bit. Have you ever sautéed a radish?
Oh, cooking a radish is a real revelation.
Radical.
It is radical. So I'm going to put you down as a yes.
I think that works.
Well, thank you for being a good citizen who votes.
Sure. Why not?
Have a great day, sir.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Helen Zaltzman.
Can you speak up? I can't quite hear you. I'm driving.
I'm Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
For the what party?
The Lexocrat Party, your etymological alternative. And one issue that's very important to Lexocrat voters is Senate reform. Because the Senate is a council of elders. It's from the Latin senex, meaning old man. So what is the minimum age you think senators should be? Because at the moment, some of them are in their 30s, which is old for a dog or a glass of milk, but not really a person.
So what's the minimum age for a senator?
How old is an old person?
65, right?
65, okay, you think a minimum 65. What about pushing it up to 80?
I guess someone in their 80s would perhaps know more, but what if they have memory loss issues?
That is an issue. Maybe we should dip it back down to, say, 74? Do you think 74-year-olds would be competent senators whilst being old enough to be senators?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Well, thank you for speaking with me today. We hope we can count on your vote.
Okay, you're welcome.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello. My name's Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
Fine.
I'm calling today to thank you for being a Lexocrat voter and to earn your support for the Lexocrat candidate this time.
I can't
round.
Really talk right now. I'm cooking dinner.
Oh, what are you making?
Chole.
What's in chole?
It's an Indian dish with chickpeas and tomatoes and spices.
That sounds wonderful. Are you having people around? Or?
Yeah, no. I have to go.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for voting. Have a great...
Hello?
Hello, my name's Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
What do you want?
A official records show you voted in the previous election, and I'm calling today to thank you for being a voter and to earn your support for the Lexocrat candidate this time round. Can we count on your vote in this election?
To be honest, I'm really not as engaged in politics as I used to be, so I think I'm going to sit this one out.
We know it's very important to Lexocrat voters to bring the political system back to its linguistic roots. Do you think Congress has done enough to live up to its history? Because in Latin, Congress would have sometimes meant a fight. Would you be more interested in politics if there was more bare-knuckle fighting involved?
Honestly, like the way that language is completely deteriorating at this point. When I was growing up, you know, people would say pwned, now they say wrecked. And it's just hard for me to follow at this point. So,
is it too much change in a short space of time?
I think the party's gotten away from its roots.
I know it's hard to deal with, sir, but language naturally does change a lot because Congress has meant the legislative body of the American state since 1775, but for 200 years prior to that, it meant sexual Congress. So would your faith in politics return if Congress was a bit sexier? Would that improve governance if they were going at it?
Yeah, sure. Although I don't know if I want to see Mitch McConnell going at it.
I'll make a note of that.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing your views. We hope you exercise your right to vote this year.
All right. Bye.
Hi, we can't take your call right now, but leave a message for Spike and I after the beep.
Hello, this is Helen Zaltzman calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party to thank you for voting linguistically. I think you meant to say Spike and me, because if you took Spike out, you wouldn't say leave a message for I, would you? As you're not the subject in this clause, you shouldn't use the nominative pronoun, you should use a...
To delete this message, press 7.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Helen Zaltzman, and I'm calling on behalf of the Lexocrat Party. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Official records show you voted in the previous election.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but cool.
I'm calling today to thank you for being a voter and to earn your support for the Lexocrat candidate this time round.
Alright.
Can we count on your vote in this election?
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, sure.
Oh, that's great to hear. We've been speaking to a lot of voters who would like to see significant etymological changes to politics, particularly to filibustering.
Sounds good.
Because standing and talking for hours on end to obstruct a vote is a big departure from the real meaning of filibuster. Is this something that's important to you?
Yeah, it feels really important right now, yeah.
We're not suggesting that filibuster should return to its mid-19th century meaning of Americans who would go to Central America with illegal plans to create unrest and seize power. The Lexocrats are advocating a return to the word's previous incarnation as fleebooter, or freebooter, which from the late 1500s referred to pirates. We think filibustering should be more piratical.
Yeah, pirates are awesome.
As a voter, which would be more important to you, pirate hats or parrots on shoulders?
Can we do both?
Left shoulder or right shoulder?
I want to say right.
I'll make a note that you lean to the right. should I put you down for hook, hand and eye patch?
That's a little far.
All right, I'll put you down as a moderate.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. We hope we can count on your vote.
All right, lady.
Have a great day.
Goodbye.
The US Election Lexicon was produced by Matt Hill and me, Helen Zaltzman, with contributions from my beloved fellow Radiotopians. You heard, in order, Jonathan Mitchell from The Truth, Benjamin Walker from Theory of Everything, Lauren Sporer from Criminal, Rishikesh Hirway from Song Exploder, Nick Vanderkolk from Love and Radio, and Avery Truffleman and Katie Mingle from 99% Invisible. You can find all of those shows and the rest of the Radiotopians at radiotopia.fm. Thanks also to Ruth Larson, Devon Taylor, Francesca Fryer, Carla Frankham, and Julie Shapiro for their help with this. All right, now for the original election lexicon.
Politically, are you disillusioned by democracy?
democracy, rule of the people, from ancient Greek demos, meaning people or population, and kratos, meaning rule or government.
I propose a solution that is more straightforward, more honest, more etymological. Politicians use words to tell lies. I vow words will be used to find the truth in politics, under etymologocracy. If you vote for me, I will put the ball back into ballot.
It is a real ball in ballot. Some of you in other countries might have jazzier ways of voting in elections, but in present-day Britain, we do it by feeding ballot papers into the mouths of ballot boxes. But casting a vote used to be an exciting ball sport! Small balls, known as ballotta in Italian, were used to cast anonymous votes. A white ball meant yes, a black ball meant no, thanks to which we also have the term black ball.
Under my regime, voter turnout will skyrocket when I bring back ball-based voting. I defy any of you to feel politically apathetic as you slam dunk your vote through the ballot hoop.
Secret ballots weren't all balls. People could cast their votes with shells, beads, leaves, or fragments of pottery. By the end of polling day, the ballot box must have looked like a debris-strewn beach.
Under etymologocracy, political parties will behave like parties.
Yes.
All politicians will assemble in the kitchen of the Houses of Parliament, except for the one MP who is passed out drunk on the stairs. The government will provide bowls of crisps on every street corner.
Party is from the old French word party, meaning a part or portion or division. It's been around to mean political party for at least 700 years, implying the division of people along political lines. But if it's dividing people into groups or parties, I guess it's pretty natural for the word to evolve into kind of its own opposite, to suggest people being brought together. 1716 is the first recorded use of party in the sense of social gathering.
The ruling party has to bring the cake! If it's a coalition, they should probably bring a Battenberg cake. That's a UKIP Lib Dem coalition, in the classic pink and yellow iteration.
The word lobbying has slightly contentious origins, though considerably less contentious than the act itself. But regardless of whether it was the UK or the US who first came up with the term, by the 1830s it was definitely in currency to describe the activities of people who used to try to influence politics, standing in the lobbies outside administrative chambers. And the word lobby itself was from the medieval Latin for the cloisters in monasteries.
But there will be no lobbying under etymologocracy. It will be mandatory for all kinds of campaigning to take place outside.
Campaign descended from the Latin word for field, campus. English got it via the French campagne, meaning countryside.
If you can't do all your political campaigning from a field in the French countryside, you will have to do it standing in front of a Monet painting. Or a poster of a Monet painting. Or holding a mouse map with the water lilies on. Just make an effort.
Campaign entered the political vocabulary by 1809, but before then, since the 1640s, campaign had referred to army operations. In winter, the troops would remain in their quarters, then in summer, they'd head outside to do some battling in the country. Campagne. Campaign.
Speaking of battling, I propose the standard of political debate would improve if it returned to its linguistic roots of physical fighting.
The word debate arrived in English in the 14th century from the old French débattre. The battre part meant to beat. It has the same root as battle and battery. And the de prefix was an intensifier, so the literal meaning of the whole word was to give someone a really thorough beating. But on a related note, the word argue has surprisingly lovely origins. Before it meant what it means now, and I mean way before, we're talking Proto-Indo-European roots here, thousands of years ago, it had an origin in common with silver. The arg meant bright and shiny and clear, so presumably argue used to mean to clarify a point of view, not something the person you're stuck next to at a dinner party wants to do after too many sherries.
And my most solemn promise to you, etymologocracy will re-establish polling according to hair.
Hair?
Hair.
Who?
Hair.
Poll descends from the Middle English word for hair, which by proximity came to mean head and thence to represent a person. A poll is alluding to a head count. Luckily, polls weren't literally hair counts, which would have taken ages and been quite problematic.
Hey, Baldy! Sorry, no vote for you. Lady in the hat, that counts as an abstention. Sir with the beard, double vote. You could swing this whole thing if you were a bear.
I can't finish this episode without mentioning the Tories, the nickname of the Conservative Party. The nickname actually predated the name by nearly two centuries. The Tories had been around as a faction since the late 17th century, but officially became the Conservatives in the mid-1830s under the leadership of Sir Robert Peel. But they still used the nickname even though it came from an uncomplimentary Irish word meaning robber or bandit.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the jokes are too easy.
That was the election lexicon made by me and Matt Hill in May 2015, standing in a very high wind at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park in London. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is... Flockmaster. Noun. A sheep farmer.
Try using it in an email today!
A quick point of information regarding the previous episode, WLTM Part 2. Many of you have suggested that Amy's date, who claimed to be an orthopaedic surgeon, wasn't messing up the word anesthesiologist, but was correctly saying anaesthetist. As it happens, Amy mispronounced his mispronunciation. He actually kept saying anaesthetist, which is a little wider of the mark. Also, apparently he knew pretty much nothing about orthopaedic surgery. Got to get your cover story straight before the date, people. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook /Allusionist Show, and in 2 weeks' time there'll be a new episode out at theallusionist.org.
Oh my god, we're doing acting right now.